Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our third session of our eight-part series of studies entitled, What is Salvation? Now, as I stated in the previous lessons, for the purposes of our study, I'm examining biblical salvation under four headings that I call the four realms of salvation. First of all, there's the eternal realm of salvation, which is the origin and cause of salvation, or salvation purposed and planned. Secondly, there's the legal realm of salvation. Now that refers to the ground of salvation, or salvation accomplished and secured. And then thirdly, there's the spiritual realm of salvation. That refers to the fruit of salvation in salvation applied and experienced. And then fourthly, the glorified realm of salvation. Now that refers to the fruit of salvation as salvation completed and perfected. And it's important for us to remember that first, all four realms are of the Lord. And secondly, all are founded upon and centered around the Lord Jesus Christ as the salvation of His people. And thirdly, all four realms present salvation as totally by grace. Now today, we're going to consider the second realm, the legal realm of salvation, or the ground of salvation, salvation accomplished and secured. Now, you may recall in the introduction of this whole series how I stated that if you have never thought about or considered this question, if God is just, how can He forgive sin? Let me repeat it. If God is just, how can He forgive sin? If you've never considered that question, then you have not heard or believed the true gospel of salvation. You see, this is the greatest problem posed in the Bible. The moment anyone says, God saves sinners, or God forgives sin, there's a great theological, legal, and ethical problem that cannot be solved by man. None of the major or minor religions of man have ever been able to solve this problem or even come close. Think about this. If God is holy, just, good, and righteous, which He is, He cannot forgive sin any more than a human judge could justly set a proven convicted murderer free by simply saying, I forgive you, go free. Now, if I were to say to you that God cast all sinners into eternal damnation and death, there's no problem there. In that instance, God is just giving us what we deserve and what we've earned, because the wages of sin is death. This is what justice demands. The problem arises when we speak of salvation for sinners, because God must be just in all that He does. And when it comes to salvation, which is a marvelous act of God's love, grace, and mercy, God cannot ignore or deny or even compromise His justice, His righteousness. Righteousness is perfect satisfaction to God's holy law and inflexible justice. So if God forgives sinners, if God saves sinners, He must do it in a way that honors His holy law and inflexible justice. He must do it in a righteous way. God must be a just God as well as a Savior. So salvation from sin can only be attained and maintained based on perfect righteousness, perfect obedience, and perfect satisfaction to God's justice. Therefore, we see that no righteousness of sinful man will do. First of all, men by nature have no righteousness before God. And secondly, because we are born spiritually dead, that is, dead in trespasses and sins, and because we are sinners, we cannot produce the righteousness required by God's holy law. In fact, the Bible tells us that the best efforts of sinful man to produce righteousness always fail. Over in the book of Romans, chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, it says this, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Now, it doesn't say there's none religious or none moral. It says there's none righteous. None of us who by nature or by our works have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's justice. Verse 11 says, "There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God, that is the true and living God of all grace. Man seeks after a God of his own imagination." And verse 12 says, "They are all gone out of the way." Christ is the way. Man by nature has gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. "There's none that doeth good, no, not one." That is good in God's sight according to God's standard. And in verse 19 of Romans 3, it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God." And verse 20 says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So whenever sinful men and women seek to be righteous before God by their works so as to gain or maintain salvation, they are rejected. Why? Because God is holy and just, and the best works of the best of men do not equal perfect righteousness. Such efforts are acts of pride, self-righteousness, and unbelief. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 21, he says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law," that is by the sinner's efforts to keep the law, "then Christ is dead in vain." If I could be righteous by my works and efforts, or by any other way, even by my faith, my friend, Christ would not have had to have come. And his death is in vain. But it's not. You see, the issue in salvation then becomes the great question of all questions. How can sinful man be justified before God? And how can a holy and just God save sinners and remain true to himself? Or how can God be just and still justify the ungodly? It is in seeing and understanding the legal realm of salvation as revealed in God's Word that we come to see the answer to this great problem. And that answer is found in the Gospel. Now, the legal realm of salvation involves a sinner's justification before God. To be saved is to be justified before God. In the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28, we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And then in verse 29 it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son might be the firstborn among many brethren." And then listen to verse 30. "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified." You see that word justified. "And whom he justified, them he also glorified." Now that's the whole realm of salvation. What does it mean to be justified? Well, the term justified is a legal term that involves two things. Number one, it involves being cleared of all the guilt of sin. to be cleared of all the guilt of sin, pronounced by God, the holy and righteous judge, to be not guilty. And then, secondly, to be justified is to be declared or pronounced righteous by God. God declaring, pronouncing His people righteous. Now, whenever the Bible describes a person as just, that term can also be translated righteous. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 7 and verse 1, the Lord here is speaking of Noah. It says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." The same word is translated, the same word righteous in Genesis 7:1 is translated just in Genesis 6:9 when it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." When Abraham was pleading for God to spare the city of Sodom, he asked, "Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked?" Genesis 18:23. Well, the righteous are those whom God has justified, those whom God has forgiven of all their sins, those who stand before God as just, and the wicked are those who are not justified. In this justification, where God declares His people righteous, we see one of the most glorious and comforting truths of salvation. God not only pardons His people, but He also brings them into His family by the adoption of grace. Consider how an earthly king, for example, may issue a pardon to a criminal that allows that criminal to avoid suffering the punishment due to his crime. But that does not make the pardoned criminal part of the king's family, does it? The king does not make that criminal his son and his heir, the heir to his kingdom. But what if the king not only pardoned the criminal, but also adopted that same criminal as his son, loving him as his son, giving him the full privileges of sonship, right and title to the inheritance of the kingdom? Well, this is exactly what God does when He justifies His people. Now, how can a holy and just God do this? Well, the issues of the legal realm and the ground of salvation are these. Number one, how can a sinner be justified before God? And number two, how can God be just and the justifier of sinners? What we're talking about in this legal realm of salvation is how we stand before a holy and just God who must judge according to truth in His court of justice, before His holy law, and how God receives us into His family and His fellowship. Now, whenever God judges us and declares the verdict, guilty or not guilty, and then pronounces the sentence either of eternal death or eternal life, He must be just. He must judge according to truth. He cannot lie and He cannot pretend. So for salvation to come to sinners, God must be just. His holiness, His truth, righteousness must be honored. God cannot and will not save sinners without honoring His law and justice. Whenever God commanded Israel, the nation, to look to Him, not to themselves for salvation, what did He say? He said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22. But notice how God identified Himself in Isaiah 45:21. He says, "Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. Now listen to how God identifies Himself. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. It's true that God is gracious. God is merciful and loving. But God must also be righteous and just in all that He does. God's justice demands perfect righteousness. The problem then for us is that we are sinners. We have no perfect righteousness, and we cannot produce one good enough to justify us before God. All our best efforts to be holy, to be righteous, fall short of the standard. And the standard is found in the perfect obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All we can do by our best efforts is earn and deserve eternal death. Now, the following is a clear biblical description of all of us by nature. And I've read these verses before, but let's look at them again. Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, who is that describing? Don't get the except me syndrome when you read verses like that. Well, that's got to be talking about somebody. Can't be talking about me. There's none righteous. No, not one. Except me? No, that's all of us by nature. Romans 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what's the point of all this? It's simply this. Our justification before God is not and cannot be by our works. Now that was established early on in the Bible, right after Adam fell, and brought the whole human race into sin and death. We all fell in Adam. The Bible's clear on that. Adam was the representative and the federal head, if you will, some old theologians call it, of the whole human race. So that when Adam fell, we all fell. We fell into sin and into death. And because of that, by nature, we're born dead in trespasses and sin. Now, over in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, listen to what happened to Adam and Eve after they fell. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now think about that. Nakedness in the Bible is a metaphor, a symbol for unrighteousness, for shame and fear because of exposure to the wrath of God. The fig leaves that Adam and Eve made, sewed together and wore, were emblems, symbols of fallen man's attempts to cover himself with his own works righteousness, self-righteousness. And he did that to hide his sin, his nakedness, and shield himself from the wrath of God. Since the fall of man in Adam, natural man has always tried to conceal his sin, cover his sin, by seeking to establish his own righteousness by his works. We see an example of this where the Lord Himself said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, to do the will of the Father is to receive and believe and rest in the Son. But look what he says in Matthew 7:22. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. In verse 23 it says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These false professors believed that what God had enabled them to do made them righteous enough to pass the judgment seat of Christ. But the best works of the best men cannot make a sinner righteous before God. And this is the most basic issue in salvation. What makes a sinner righteous before God? Is it what I do? Or what God enables me to do? Well, the fig leaves of our own works, not even our best works, not even what God enables us to do, will make us righteous before God. So back in Genesis chapter 3, God first gave a magnificent and gracious prophecy to Adam and Eve. This was after they had put on their fig leaf aprons. This prophecy was given as God pronounced His curse upon Satan, who was instrumental in bringing about the fall of man into sin, death, and condemnation. It's in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where the Lord tells Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Who is this seed of woman? Well, it's none other than the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, who would be the Redeemer and Savior of His people. He is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, truly God in every attribute of His being. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You see, it would take this person, one who is both God and man without sin, to save sinners. And then it's recorded in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. It says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. Now here God revealed that the only way to make reconciliation for sins is the death of a suitable substitute and sacrifice in the place of the sinner. Here, God revealed the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no pardon, or forgiveness of sins. Here, God established that sinners can only call upon Him and be accepted by Him and commune with Him based on the blood of sacrifice. God established here in type and picture, a shadow, if you will, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh, and by His death for the sins of His people, He's the only way for sinners to be saved, to be redeemed, to be justified, made righteous before God. All the blood of lambs slain from Abel's offering and throughout the old covenant times were types, pictures, and prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. You see, justification before God has nothing to do with our works or our deeds. Justification before God is the work of Jesus Christ alone in the place of all those whom God had given Him before the foundation of the world. In the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, we read, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The justification of a sinner before a holy God is based upon the shed blood and the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to save sinners, Christ was made sin. How? By the imputation, the charging, the legal accounting of the sins of His people, God's elect, His church, to Himself by God. God charged the debt of the sins of His people to Christ. And it's Christ who of Himself and in Himself knew no sin. He was never contaminated with sin. He was never corrupted with sin, but he became guilty by the legal imputation of sin, the debt of sin, to him. And as the result of his death on that cross, he suffered and he bled and he died on that cross. As the result of that, righteousness was established. And that's the righteousness of God revealed in the good news of the gospel. It's the righteousness of God that is imputed, charged, accounted to all of God's elect. Our sins are taken away and righteousness is imputed if we're one of His. And my friend, where that righteousness is imputed, the Holy Spirit will give life to His people and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, in the next lesson, we'll continue studying the four realms of salvation, specifically dealing with part two of the legal realm of salvation, which involves the justification of sinners before God in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you'll continue through this eight-part series. And if you would like a free copy of today's program or the entire eight-part study entitled What is Salvation, it's available upon request in an attractive package set along with a complimentary booklet of the same title, What is Salvation? I hope you'll join us next week as we continue exploring this vital subject, What is Salvation?
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.